All right, let us read together. Daniel chapter 12, the first three verses. Daniel 12, 1 through 3. And at that time shall Michael stand up, the great prince which standeth for the children of thy people. And there shall be a time of trouble, such as never was, since there was a nation, even to that same time. And at that time thy people shall be delivered, every one that shall be found written in the book. And many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt. And they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, and they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever. They often say the speaker is often speaking to himself. This is something I've came across, kind of struck a chord. I hope maybe they could be encouraging to someone else. And maybe they'd be encouraging to me. There was a member of the Baseball Hall of Fame. He wrote, and I'm going to kind of skip down through some of this, but, quote, "No one has ever been able to explain to me the mysterious alchemy that makes one man," and he basically says a good player, and another player more or less identical, only mediocre if that. "Not every ball player is born with the ability to hit a curveball, nor is exceptional hand-eye coordination the key to heavy hitting. Big league locker rooms are filled with players who have all the attributes save one: discipline. Every baseball man can tell you a story about a pitcher who throws a ball faster than anyone has ever seen, but who has no control on or off the field. The Hall of Fame is full of people who transformed themselves into great ball players by working, by studying the game, and making sacrifices. He gives some examples. He mentions a pitcher should be able to win a lot of ball games with a 98-mile-per-hour fastball. But National League star Grover Cleveland Alexander got into the Hall of Fame with a pitch that took considerably longer to reach the plate. But when it did, the pitch was exactly where Alexander wanted it to be, and the last place the batter expected it to be. There are probably more players with exceptional ability who didn't make it to the major leagues than there are who did. A number of great hitters, bored with fielding practice, had to be dropped because their home run production didn't make up for their lapses in the field. And then there are players like Brooke Robinson of the Baltimore Orioles, who made himself into a human vacuum cleaner at third base because he knew that working hard to become an expert fielder would win him a job. A star is not something that flashes through the sky. That's a comet or a meteor. A star is something you can steer ships by. It stays in place and gives off a steady glow. It is fixed, permanent. A star works at being a star. And that's how you tell a star in baseball. He shows up night after night. He's Lou Gehrig after being fooled in his first two at-bats, belting the next pitch off the light tower because he's taken the time to study the pitcher. Stars never take themselves for granted. And that's why they're stars. And of course, that's why my reading and my subject, star focus. Let's turn up 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 58. First Corinthians 15:58. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, forasmuch as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. It's not easy. Jeremiah wrote, really, of the human nature that we face in Jeremiah 13:23. Can the Ethiopian change his skin or the leopard his spots? Then may ye also do good that are accustomed to do evil. And again, back in Jeremiah 4, three and four. Jeremiah 4:3-4. For thus saith Yahweh to the men of Judah and Jerusalem, break up your fallow ground and sow not among thorns. Circumcise yourselves to Yahweh and take away the foreskins of your heart, ye men of Judah and inhabitants of Jerusalem, lest my fury come forth like fire and burn that none can quench it because of the evil of your doings. Remember the thorny ground in the parable of the sower? It's not easy to break up fallow ground, to plow under the sod that has taken over. And God is using this as a symbol here. It's not easy to dig deep into our own fleshly hearts to root out any problem. Hebrews 12:14-15. Hebrews 12:14-15. Follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord, looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. Commitment and conviction are decisions we must make and follow through with, regardless of anything and anyone else. Commitment to God means we decide to do what He says. Keep My commandments. Let's look at Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians 4, 1 through 3. I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that ye walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with longsuffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. You've already read Hebrews 12:14. Let's look at 1 Thessalonians 5. 11 through 15. Wherefore, comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as also ye do. And we beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you and are over you in the Lord, and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love for their works' sake, and be at peace among yourselves. Now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly, comfort the feeble-minded, support the weak, be patient toward all men. See that none render evil for evil unto any man, but ever follow that which is good, both among yourselves and to all men. Now we are all human, which is why it is so hard to practice this kind of discipline. On the examples from baseball, remember, Babe Ruth still holds the strikeout record. Everyone messes up, misses or makes mistakes, is mistaken sometimes. Successful people in anything don't just try harder. They try more often and learn from their mistakes. A reporter once asked Theodore Roosevelt if he was a good shot, because he was a famous hunter. And he said, well, no, I just shoot more often. So successful people, they figure out how to do things and what they need to do. They figure out what they can do within the parameters, the rules, God's guidelines, we think about for our purpose here. Remember the verses we just read. And by studying the situation that really God has placed in front of them to try to figure out what will work better. And then they just keep doing it. All of that. Hour after hour. Day after day. Month after month. Year after a grueling, grinding year. Let's look at Ecclesiastes chapter 9, verse 4. Ecclesiastes 9, verse 4. For to him that is joined to all the living, there is hope. For a living dog is better than a dead lion. And then Hebrews 3:14. For we are made partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end. Now back to the idea of stars. We now know that stars are actually suns, which is why they are so permanent. They are said to sometimes twinkle or shimmer. Now we know that this is caused by atmospheric and environmental conditions between them and ourselves. Mostly much closer to ourselves, sometimes even within our own eyeballs. So many things can distract us or cloud our thinking, impede our efforts, however well intended. You know, we mentioned Babe Ruth's strikeout record. But even beyond that, he missed a lot of play, a lot of innings, because of his overeating. That's so well known, there's even supposedly a true story of him being carried off the field, moaning, "I shouldn't have eaten that last apple." Now, everyone has to eat, for example. You know, we all have to do things of this life, but we must be careful and cognizant to not let any natural characteristics hinder our efforts or even someone else's. Let's look at Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1. Hebrews 12, verse 1. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and run, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. This is focus. Of course, we know Christ's words, the famous memory verse from Matthew 6:33, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." This is our priority. How are we seeking God's kingdom and his righteousness in everything and anything we do? This is our focus. Now, correct focus affects how we do and handle everything, regardless of our natural characteristics. And just for example, for another baseball example, when Jackie Robinson came to professional baseball as the first black to join the league, the team president told him, "I want a player with guts enough not to fight back." As the first black professional baseball player, you'd have to show perfect self-control to earn everyone's respect. We represent something much more because we are Christ's. Let's look at 1 Peter chapter 3. 1 Peter 3:14 through 16. But And if ye suffer for righteousness' sake, happy are ye. And be not afraid of their terror, neither be troubled. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. Having a good conscience, that whereas they speak evil of you as of evildoers, they may be ashamed that falsely accuse your good conversation in Christ. Now, Jackie Robinson replied, "If you want to take this gamble, I will promise you there will be no incident." And he did follow through. But it seems to have gotten worse than anyone expected. But despite the bullying, Robinson kept himself under control and ignored the insults. End quote. So for his first 2 years, he was a perfect gentleman, quote unquote, and won the respect of even most of his critics, until finally the team president released him from that stipulation, which he then told reporters that the opposing teams, quote, better be rough on me this year because I'm sure going to be rough on them, end quote. But he did not respond in kind. Instead of cursing back, he played better, winning the batting title and stealing the most bases in the league, finishing in the top tier for other stats, helped take the team to the World Series year after year, until they finally won that in 1955. Helped to take them back again in 1956, where, despite age slowing him down and hampering him in games 5 and 6, he made the best hits of each of those games, and the only score of game 6. Although he was very outspoken naturally, the only type of confrontation he was really known for on the field were challenges to questionable calls. And I bring this up just to point out his focus. He was there to play ball for his team, not answer for any personal attacks. And he was so committed to that team, having been with him for quite a while, that he then retired rather than get shuffled around from team to team, switching loyalties for a handout. And then threw himself enthusiastically into working to help whoever he could. For example, in his new career as vice president of community relations for Chock Full of Nuts and other causes, even to pounding the streets on others' behalf. So regardless of what happens around us, how does our efforts and actions prove ourselves to others, and more importantly, to our Heavenly Father? Once again, in 1 Peter, in chapter 4, 1 Peter 4, verses 7 through 11. But the end of all things is at hand. Be ye therefore sober, and watch unto prayer. And above all things, have fervent charity among yourselves, for charity shall cover the multitude of sins. Use hospitality, one to another, without grudging. As every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another, as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do it as of the ability which God giveth, that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. Amen. We are all servants of the Most High God, contracted and committed to handling and manifesting what He has given us in the cause of His sovereignty. As such, we must follow His wishes and ways, repressing our own will and ways, praying for forgiveness for our failings and strength to try again and again and harder to make up for our misses or lackluster performances. Now let's read 1 John chapter 1, verse 9. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And then finally, again in 1 Peter chapter 1, starting at verse 13. First Peter chapter 1, start at verse 13. Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lusts in your ignorance, but as He which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. Because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. And if ye call on the Father, who without respect of persons judgeth according to every man's work, pass the time of your sojourning here in fear. Forasmuch as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you, who by Him do believe in God that raised Him up from the dead and gave Him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God. Seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. For all flesh is as grass, and the glory of man as the flower of grass. The grass withereth, the flower thereof falleth away. But the word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. And thank you. Now we will enter into our memorial service, where we consider the perfect example left us in Christ. The Orlando Ecclesia's basis of fellowship is exclusively the unamended statement of faith, and we welcome those who believe and adhere to those doctrines and commandments stated therein. And as we turn our attention to the memorial of Christ's sacrifice, let us stand and sing hymn number 109. Now let our humble faith behold our great high priest above. Hymn 109. As we come now to consider Christ's example, the ultimate level of commitment, as we see represented in these emblems, let us turn to Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2, let's read 40 through 52. Speaking of Jesus. And the child grew and waxed strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. Now his parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover. And when he was 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem after the custom of the feast. When they had fulfilled the days as they returned, the child Jesus tarried behind in Jerusalem. And Joseph and his mother knew not of it. But they, supposing him to have been in the company, went a day's journey And they sought him among their kinsfolk and acquaintances. And when they found him not, they turned back again to Jerusalem, seeking him. And it came to pass that after 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the doctors, both hearing them and asking them questions. And all that heard him were astonished at his understanding and answers. And when they saw him, they were amazed. And his mother said unto him, Son, why hast thou thus dealt with us? Behold, thy father and I have sought thee sorrowing. And he said unto them, How is it that ye sought me? Wist ye not that I must be about my father's business? And they understood not the saying which he spake unto them. And he went down with them and came to Nazareth, and was subject unto them. But his mother kept all these sayings in her heart. And Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. Christ knew from a very early age what his role and mission was. Mary and Joseph's consistent commitment gave him a good example to follow. But he needed more specialized training in God's Word. So as we read here, in early adolescence, he began to exercise his focused self-discipline, taking the initiative to seek out elders and teachers, those who could at least mentor, advise, and guide his thoughts on spiritual matters. And listening and carefully considering all they had to say. As a verse reads in order first, quote, hearing them, and then, and asking them questions. Due to his astute, focused listening and consideration of their words, he was able to raise his own level of conversation with them to such a high plane that, as the next verse reads, all that heard him were astonished at his understanding and answers. And even if this were just relative to his age, it shows his extreme focus and commitment. He knew that he had to get it right. And he wanted to, because he wanted to please God. He knew he wouldn't have much time. And he couldn't fail at all once he began. So very early on, he set out to seek out the best training and advice available. Imperfect though they were due to human nature, their time in scriptural consideration would have been an invaluable aid to our master's development. And this is mentioned twice in this reading. Now let us consider Christ's example of focus and commitment. Then, really just a short time later, at the end of his mortal ministry, again in Luke, let us turn to Luke chapter 22. Luke 22, let's read verses 29 through 30. And I appoint unto you a kingdom, as my Father hath appointed unto me, that ye may eat and drink at my table in my kingdom, and sit on thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And then again in verses 35 through 37. And he said unto them, when I sent you without purse and scrip and shoes, lacked ye anything? And they said, nothing. Then said he unto them, but now he that hath a purse, let him take it, and likewise his scrip. And he that hath no sword, let him sell his garment and buy one. For I say unto you, that this that is written must yet be accomplished in me. And he was reckoned among the transgressors, for the things concerning me have an end. And in verses 40 through 44. And when he was at the place, he said unto them, pray that ye enter not into temptation. And he was withdrawn from them about a stone's cast, and kneeled down and prayed, saying, Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. And there appeared an angel unto him from heaven, strengthening him. And being in an agony, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat was, as it were, great drops of blood falling down to the ground. Now let us take our instructions from this same chapter, Luke 22. Read verses 14 through 20. And when the hour was come, he sat down, and the 12 apostles with him. And he said unto them, with desire I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I say unto you, I will not any more eat thereof until it be fulfilled in the kingdom of God. And he took the cup, and gave thanks, and said, take this, and divide it among yourselves. For I say unto you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God shall come. And he took bread, and gave thanks, and brake it, and gave unto them, saying, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. Likewise also the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you. Now let us rise. If I could, I'd like to ask Brother Mac to give thanks for the bread.
Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. We humbly approach unto thee in prayer now to remember the sacrifice of our Lord and Master, thy Son, Jesus the Christ. In this bread which we are about to partake, we see a symbol of his body given in sacrifice upon the crucifixion stake. And we are reminded of this great sacrifice made for the forgiveness of sins. We're reminded of his commitment unto thee. We're reminded of the pain and turmoil that he endured, that he might, for himself and for us, provide something better. The hope of atonement, the hope of life eternal, the hope of a place in thy coming kingdom, which he shall establish. Each and every one of us, Father, help us to concentrate in our hearts that we might give thanksgiving for this great offering, that we might remember what was done, that we might have hope of life eternal, and show our gratitude and remembrance of that which has been provided. We are grateful, Father, to thee for thy plan and purpose of redemption through him. We pray, Father, now that each and every one of us might be renewed in our spirits as we contemplate the work of thy Son to push forward toward thy coming kingdom, to do what we may to improve ourselves, our families, and our ecclesia. We all, through thy grace and mercy, might gain an entrance in that coming kingdom. We thank thee through the name of thy Son, Jesus the Christ. Amen.
Now let us rise. If we could ask Brother Bill Roth to give thanks for the cup.
Heavenly Father, we thank you for this blessing and kindness that thou hast provided for us this day in allowing us to assemble in faith that we might remember thy dear Son and the sacrifice that he gave. Shed from the very beginning as a covering for sin. And we pray that we might always be mindful of that great sacrifice in giving thy only Son as a covering for sin and token of the covenant. We thank thee for this kindness and blessing that thou hast allowed us to gather here today, that we may be encouraged in our faith and strengthened, that we will soon see the sun's rise in which thy Son shall come in power and glory to establish that kingdom, if it be thy will, we might have a part therein. We thank thee for all blessings and supplications we pray in and through thy dear Son, our Jesus Christ, Lord of heaven and this earth to come. Through Jesus' name, amen.
Now, as we close our considerations, the thought of the focus and commitment of our Lord and Master, finish with singing hymn number 150. Who are these like stars appearing, these before God's throne who stand? Hymn number 150.
Our loving Father, wonderful Creator, perfect Arranger, most benevolent Provider, we thank Thee for this opportunity to gather here to consider a portion of Thy Word and remember Thy Son. We pray in this coming week that we might remain steadfast, and if Thy Son doesn't return, that we may meet again the next first day of the week to consider again these things which helps us along that road to the kingdom. We ask these things and give Thee all thanks in Thy Son's name, even Jesus Christ. Amen.
Thank you. Remember, there's a hymn sing and a potluck here in the hall next week, Lord willing.